Just remain standing and turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 18 again. We're going to look at the verse we looked at this morning, Proverbs chapter number 18. If you've got the King James Bible, you've got the answer. It's the answer to all life's problems. It's the answer about the question how to get to heaven. It's in the Bible, amen. And folks, I've been in a lot of services where they sing that song, Hold the Fort. When they say wave the answer, they wave their King James Bible. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Well, I want to hold the fort with the King James Bible. Amen. Not change, not surrender, give in. Amen. Just keep on with what we know to be right. And I believe God honors that and will bless that. Amen. Amen. All right. Having said that, Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24, the one verse we read this morning, we're going to read it again tonight. I'm going to move along a little further in my thought about friendships tonight. It's a different message, but I'll tie it to that and give you an introduction to one that we'll have to actually continue. I've got some thoughts. I'm going to call this the fundamentals of friendship. This morning just preached about friendships, plural, and tonight I want to preach about the fundamentals of friendship, just some foundational principles. I've got 10 things that are, I believe, are 10 fundamental qualities of a genuine friend. And I want to try to look at those if I can tonight. I won't deal with all 10 tonight, Lord willing. We'll deal with about 5 of those and then cut you some slack. Amen. Let you have a breather. We won't have a watch night service tonight, Lord willing. Amen. Amen. I told them, one, I may have told this here, I don't remember if I did or not, but when we was in Oklahoma that one night, I preached on Ezekiel chapter 8 and 9. You remember I did that here one Sunday morning, 8 and 9, both did an exposition on every verse of both chapters in one night. And I told them, I said, now, I don't always let them out by 12 o'clock on Sunday, but I'll do my best to do that tonight. Amen. And then the next night, I forgot now where it was. Anyway, wherever my text was, I told him I was going to try to do an exposition on chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Amen. And they didn't know whether I was serious or not. But I wasn't serious. I just dealt with one chapter that night. Amen. And by the way, I'll plug this. Brother Larry Wales, we all know Brother Wales. He's a friend of this church. And Brother Wales, I don't know if he does it as much now as he used to. But he used to, if he was going to use one verse in a sermon, he'd read the whole chapter. Whenever he'd announce a text, he'd announce his text and read the whole chapter. Y'all remember there. You probably remember that. And anyway, Brother Sutton said he had him in a meeting one week, and every night that's what he'd done. He read the whole chapter. And he said one night he got up and he said, turn to the book of Psalms, and said, Brother Sutton's oldest boy said, Lord, I hope it's not 119. He knew he'd read the whole thing. Amen. That wouldn't hurt anything, but that's amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24. Again, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One more time. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Please help us. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly do appreciate that prayer. A couple of things I need to say before I start my message. I meant to have said it earlier and forgot. But Brother Simpson found a piece of equipment, kitchen equipment, on sale or at a yard sale. I think it was a yard sale, something like that. Anyway, and got a tremendous deal in it. He purchased it and has donated it to the church. We got it back there if you want to see it. I think some of the ladies already looked at it. I haven't, but it's a warmer. And understand it's going to be a real blessing, but got a real deal. You might want to look at that and praise God
for helping us with that. Amen. And then the second thing I mentioned is that Miss Ruth has some numbers to reach us in case our cell phones don't work, because there in North Carolina, especially at Vision, we don't have cell service at the church. And it's sporadic at Melissa's mom and dad's house. So we've got their numbers, and you can reach us if there was an emergency and you need to get in touch with us that way. You can try our cell. It may work, and it may not. It's just like a lot of things. Amen. But anyway, if you need that, you can get in touch with Miss Ruth, and she can give you information how to get in touch with us. All right? I started this morning and preached an introductory message really just on the subject of friendships. And I said that it was in a practical realm, more so than a religious realm. And yet I did try to tie it together, because I believe this text, whether or not that the writer of the proverb knew that he was implying the Lord Jesus, you can't read that verse without seeing Jesus in that verse. Amen. It's very obvious that Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. And I really ended up, I gave you five facts about friendship really this morning, and I didn't have them alliterated, and I don't tonight either, but just some thoughts that I want to give you along that. But I ended up dealing with the fact that we have a twofold need of friendship. We need horizontal friendships and we need vertical friendships. We need human friendships, our family and friends and associates that way. But we, more than that, we need a heavenly friendship. We need a connection with somebody in the glory world. Amen. Well, I've come up with 10 fundamental characteristics of a genuine friend. And there's probably other things. And by the way, let me back up and say this. I said it this morning that any one of us, I should probably say every one of us, may very well fail on any one of these characteristics, because we are not a perfect friend. One thing about being a friend, though, is that you don't have to be perfect to be a friend, because you're not befriending somebody that's perfect either. Amen. They came out with a slogan about being a foster parent, and it said you don't have to be a perfect parent to be a foster parent. Kids don't need perfect parents. They just need somebody to love them, somebody to train them, somebody to teach them. Amen. That is true. Well, the same thing about friends. So I say we may fail, but there's one that has not failed and that never will fail, and that is the Lord Jesus. So when I deal with these characteristics, I do want to each time think about our responsibility or our duty or how we can apply it in our own life practically. But then also I want to look at our Lord Jesus and how He has fulfilled that positionally. Now, I won't have time to deal with any of these in depth, but just give you some thoughts. So let me start off with this. Number one, a characteristic of friendship. Number one, friends listen. Amen. Friends listen. Now, I'm going to say something to us men. Listening takes effort. Don't take much effort to talk sometimes, but it takes a little more effort not to. Amen. Because sometimes we have to say, oh me, because it's true. Sometimes when, and it's more with our spouse than with anybody else, and you ladies can say amen without hurting my feelings. I mean, amen, I'm a husband. My feelings are hurt because I failed in this so many times already. But to be a real friend, friends don't need you necessarily to tell them the answer. They're not necessarily looking for an answer. They're looking for compassion. They're looking for concern. Amen. And friendship is standing with them and helping them go through that. So I say friends listen, and listening takes effort. It's easy to talk to people, but it takes effort to listen to them. Have you ever tried talking to somebody and it's obvious they wasn't listening to you? And I'll say this, the older I get, when you're talking to me, if there's a lot of noise going on around me, I have a hard time sometimes cutting out all that peripheral noise. Amen. And focusing in on what's being said right to me. Amen. But sometimes people, you're talking to them, you say we're talking with each other, but they're not listening to you. They're getting ready to tell you something else. And before you're finished, they're going to tell you whatever they were already going to tell you, because it may not fit with anything in the conversation that's going on so far. But they're just, They're just talking. And again, that is easy. It's easy to get in there. But friends, listen, Lord, help us be a better friend. Amen. One of the purposes of being a friend or having a friend is that we want somebody that we can talk to. Somebody we can share our heart with. Somebody that will listen to what we have to say. Amen. Amen. I couldn't make a plug there. Brother Steve's marriage has improved greatly since he can't talk anymore. Amen. I'm kidding. All he can do is listen. Amen. I'm kidding. We was talking about that a little bit this morning. And I thought, well, it fits right here. But seriously, a lot of times our impulse is the answer when they don't necessarily need an answer. They need a listening ear. And a lot of times that's exactly what friends need. True friends have open ears. I say this, most people's favorite subject, you know what their favorite subject is? Them.
Right.
Amen. I can talk about myself. Now some people can talk about everybody else. You catch that up. Amen. They can talk about everybody. That's called gossip, talking about everybody else. But a lot of times people, their favorite subject is themselves, and they don't have enough, I don't know what's the right word, enough resistance and ability to draw back on that and actually listen when you speak. They're too busy thinking about what they're going to say next or going down that line. A true friend will listen when you speak. He wants to understand how you feel because he's concerned about what concerns you. Amen. He wants to help. He does want to help. A real friend does. They want to help in any way they can. And the only way to know how to help is to listen to what the problem is. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody was telling me the last few days, might have been Brother Owen out in Fisherville, Brother in Stewart's Draft. Brother Owen, it was him. Talking about this old doctor back when they made house calls. He delivered all of his wife's family. His wife, I think, the youngest in the family, delivered all the children at home, like 8 or 9 children. He delivered every one of them in the home and charged $35 for the most expensive one. I mean, he started out $15, and every child they had, you know, or as it went along, he raised up, give them incentive to hold off a little more. Amen. Maybe. I don't know what his incentive was, but maybe it was inflation. But anyway, he's talking about that old doctor, and he said when he'd come in to see him, the doctor would say, all right, so he said every woman was called Sue and every man was called George. Didn't matter what their name was. He'd say, all right, George, what's wrong with you? Or what do you think's wrong with you? And Brother Owen said, you'd walk and say, well, Doc, I really think I got the flu. He said, well, if you know what's wrong with you, why'd you come see me for? He said, that's what the doctor would always say. But and that's how doctors do. You know what? When you go in to see them, they start wanting to know, tell me what's happening. Tell me what's hurting. Tell me what's hindering. Tell me what's going on. And the reason they're doing that is so they can listen and make a diagnosis in their mind about what's going on. Amen. Well, that's what a real friend is. A real friend is one that's not just talking about themselves, but they want to know what's going on with you. They really want to know what's hurting you. They really want to know what's hindering you. The real friend is interested in helping, and the way they know how to help is to listen. And I say about our Lord's a good listener.
Amen.
Amen. He's a good listener. Psalm 91 verse 15 says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. God's a listening God. Our Lord is a good listener. Isaiah 65 verse 24, I thought about this. And I'm going to read it to you. And when I read it, I want you to think about this. This is what I thought. Some men, this is the way we are. And this is how God said, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. That's where we are a lot of times, ain't it? Before they're through telling us, we're ready to tell them.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's not what our Lord's saying. What our Lord's saying, before they call, I will answer. God knows the answer. And he is inviting us to call. Then he goes on to say, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. God is saying, I'm listening and I'm working on your behalf even while you're praying about your problem. Amen. I'm glad God has invited us to call unto him. God has invited us to come unto him with our troubles. Amen. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask. and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus invites us to ask, because He's a good listener. Amen. James chapter number 5, verse 16, the last phrase that one we know so well, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know where the power in prayer is? The power in prayer is not that the prayer warrior is so powerful. The power in prayer is that the prayer hearer is so powerful. Amen. I've got a good friend in heaven. I'm glad he is my friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he's a good listener. Amen. If nobody else will listen to you, he will. Amen. If nobody else cares, he cares. So let me ask you, why that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, oh, what needless pain we bear.
That's right.
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Why do we hesitate to tell Him our trouble when He wants to know our trouble? Amen. By the way, do you a lot better to talk to Him than it would to call some phone number and talk to somebody way off somewhere? Amen. Amen. Somebody asked me there at the meeting. Of course, Brother Mark Thren and his family was there, and he's a preacher. Brother Herbert Williamson was there one day on Thursday, and he preached. And me, Brother Jeff Plemons, and of course Brother Owens, and the men in his church that are preachers. And one of the men asked me at one of the meals. He said, "Are you preaching next?" And I said, "I don't know." And I held out my hand and I said, "You tell me." For him to read my palm, tell me if I was going to be preaching or not. And he said, "We don't believe in that, preacher." I said, "Well, I don't believe in that either." Amen. It'd do you a lot better to talk to somebody that does know the future than to this crowd with the crystal ball or with the horoscope, amen, or with some psychiatric ability, amen. Brother Simpson told me the other day, "You know, I wonder why we never read in the paper, psychic wins lottery again." Because they never won it the first time. Because they don't know the future. Because they're hoaxes. Some of them are demonic. Amen. God holds the future in His hand. I say this, He's a good friend, but are we treating Him like a friend? Are we talking to Him? Secondly, not only friends listen, but number two, friends share interests. They have some things in common. Amen. A real friend, I said it this morning, a real friend puts others first. They're unselfish in doing so. But a real friend, a true friend, will put their interest aside at times in order to help the one that needs their friendship. Amen. They'll find some common ground. Amen. The real friends find common ground. Sometimes God brings special people into our life. He brings somebody into our life that we can befriend them. Sometimes it's that they can befriend us. But it's that we can find some common ground and things that we share so much in common. It's natural that the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, that's not Bible, but there is some truth in it. It's natural that people that have things in common are going to collect together. Amen. Some of the ladies was talking tonight about starting a grandma or a granny group. I told them they could start a singing group called the GGs instead of the BGs. Be the GGs. Some of the, I won't say the older ladies, but I'll just say some of the ladies that have grandchildren. That's a commonality that they have.
Amen.
Amen. It's natural. It's natural that married couples associate more with married couples and singles associate more with singles.
Right.
It's common that young people associate more with young people, that older folks associate more with older folks. I mean, those things are common. And that's true. We have more things in common and we can talk about those things. That's how friends come together, and God molds that and God uses that. Amen. And it may be that you probably do have a few friends that you don't share a lot in common. They're still your friends. You still care about them. But you just don't have, you certainly don't have everything in common. And maybe you have very few things in common. But your best friends are people that tend to like a lot of the same things you like. People that tend to talk about the same kind of things you enjoy talking about. Amen. people that more than likely see things a lot like you see it, whether it be politically or religious or however it is, that you would see things together, and so it brings you together and there's a commonality there. You share something in common. That's how to become best friends. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy in school, I can remember Wesley Dancy was my first best friend in school. First boy that I actually grabbed. His daddy was our mailman back when mailmen were male. And they were men. But anyway, Jay Dancy was our mailman, and Wesley was in the fourth grade together. Wesley was a very good free throw shooter. He could shoot, seemed like 9 for 9. By the way, and that's what got me started with Jim Spinarkle. Played for the Duke back in that day, and Jim Spinarkle could hit 90-some% free throws. And by the way, their argument was that's a free shot. Why not at least get all the points you can get free? Amen. But Wesley was good at that, and because he was, it caused me to want to start learning to shoot free throws. Wesley's team was North Carolina State. My brother's team was North Carolina, Tar Heels. And so I couldn't be like my brother. I wanted to be like Wesley. Amen. And, of course, then some things happened when I realized about Jim Spinarkle and that there was a better team, I went to Pullman for Duke. But anyway, I'll get off of that. That's carnality. Maybe that's not practical for you, but that's kind of. But seriously, Wesley caused me to have. It changed my desires. I started being interested in what the ball teams were doing. Before that, I didn't. I mean, what does it matter? I mean, still, really, for this day, what does it matter what the ball teams are doing? But in that day, it did, and I'll tell you why. Because it mattered to him.
Right.
And since it mattered to him, and I wanted to impress him, I wanted him to like me, then it started meaning something to me.
Right.
Amen. Well, God uses that and can very well use that in cementing some good friendships in our life. Let me plug it right here that I talked this morning about good marriages need to be good friends. I believe that's right. But I also believe good marriages, in order to be good friends, there has to be something we have in common. And I know what you say. Yeah, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Very obvious we're not from the same planet. We think different. We talk different. Amen. A lot of things are different about us. But there's got to be some cohesion. There's got to be some level in which we at least listen long enough to appease them. Amen. Now, I'm not meaning that to be funny, but it is funny. But we got to listen enough so that they know we do care. We're trying. Amen. And listen, fellas, I know. It gets quiet, but it's still right. I know that you get exasperated that you don't understand her. But just think. Do you think she understands you? Truth is, you don't understand yourself. And she knows you don't understand her. Because if you figure her out today, she'll change tomorrow. But you don't have to understand each other totally.
Right.
My point is that you're working at it. My point is that you're trying to share some things in common. Amen. If she takes all her meals in the dining room and you take all yours in the living room, it ain't going to be the best marriage it could be. Amen.
Amen.
If she spends all her time at the mall, you spend all your time at the fishing lake, it ain't going to make the best marriage. Not that she can't ever go to the mall without you, because if she goes, she needs to probably go without you. Amen. And it can't be that you can't go to the fishing pond without her. I'm not saying that. But I am saying some men, they got their friends with the boys and they're hanging with the guys and they're forgetting their wife.
Right.
Neglecting her, really, to be honest with you. And then maybe I'm sure there's some in the other category as well. Women has got their shopping buddies or whatever it is. They're sewing pals or you know, whatever that they got. And it is possible that they can forsake their husband.
Right. Amen.
I've seen it, and you probably have. I've seen it where the wife goes on vacation a different time than her husband goes on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go different places that don't make good marriages. Matter of fact, most of the time it busts up marriages. Amen. Again, not saying that she can't ever go off without him or he can't never go off without her, but as a general rule, we need to learn to do some things together. Amen. That's good. That's good for the marriage life. Amen. It's not that we have to do everything together, but we need to cultivate some things in common. Amen. We need to cultivate that. We need to work on that. Keep our friendship strong. That will ultimately make our marriage strong. Amen. Well, I say that also goes for church relations. I touched on that this morning. When we get involved in church activities, it strengthens our bond together. Amen. When we work together to see things done as a church, it strengthens our bond together as friends. We have common ground. It keeps our friendship strong, and it ultimately keeps our church strong. Amen. When you've got a... Let me use it this way. For example, we've got Brother Sister Hall. Mrs. Hall has had health problems now for some long time. I'm not trying just to remind her of that and bring that up. But one of the ways we gain strength with them is by remembering them in prayer. Remembering them in prayer. You say, well, that's not my wife. Why do I care? That's your brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
Those are your friends. And really, I'll put them in another level, really where they belong. They have been leaders of this church for all these years, and for the work's sake, they deserve honor. But if it was just another member, we ought to have that concern one for another. Amen. We ought to pray for one another. We ought to look out for each other's concerns. Amen. Amen. It may not be that you see everything just like them. Like, for example, this whole thing about the Ford and Chevrolet business that we talk about. And we just, that's more fun than anything. I told that boy yesterday, I just pick about that. I'll drive anything as long as it says F-O-R-D on the front. I did tell him that, but I was just kidding. Amen. One guy told me this. He said, you know, Jesus had a Ford. It's in the Bible. He owned a Ford because it said he walked everywhere he went. That's what he said. So we don't have to agree on that, but at least we're not up in arms about it.
Right.
Amen. And we can laugh about it. And some of the things that do draw us together is not necessarily that we have it in common. It can be that we're at odds. Like I mentioned about one fellow liking one team, another fellow liking another team. Some people don't like any team. Amen. And that's all right. As long as we're not fighting with one another and we're happy to serve God together and go on. Amen. Friendship, we can get along with it. Well, there needs to be some things that we have in common. Well, our Lord sought commonality with His fellow man. He made Himself of no reputation.
Right.
Now, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A lot of commentators read that as this, and I think it's a good reading. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God as Jesus saw being equal with God as nothing that He had to stretch for. He was equal with God. He wasn't working towards being equal with God. He wasn't worried about being equal with God. Amen.
Right.
But He made Himself. He was up there at the top, but He stepped down several notches and became a servant. Not just a man, but He knows what it is to walk in shoe leather. He knows what it is to hunger and thirst. He knows what it is to be tempted of the devil. He knows what it is to be betrayed by a friend. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows, I just go on and on and on. He is touched, the Bible says, with the feelings of our infirmities. Why did He go through that? It's not so, I read this, some man said God had to know what it's like to be a human. How can you say God had to know? He knew the end from the beginning. He didn't learn what it was like to be a man. And He didn't need... How can you say God needs anything?
Amen.
But He chose to step down into flesh.
Right.
And He chose to suffer in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God for that.
Amen.
He faced every manner of temptation you or I face. He knows when you're going through trouble and you tell Him your trouble, He knows exactly what you're going through. He's a friend that has some things in common with you. Amen. Again, I go back, that's why we ought to tell Him. That's why we ought to trust Him. That's why we ought to talk to Him. Amen. I'm convinced that the most common things of Christianity, Bible reading and prayer, are the most commonly neglected things of Christianity. Amen. Let me say number three. If I'm going to get through these five, I've got to move on. Number three, not only friends listen and friends have things in common or share things in common, but number three, friends protect each other. Friends protect each other. Rather than just looking for their protection, they're willing to protect their brother. Amen. Let me give an illustration. Brother Levi, can I use you? Would you stand up right there? Let's say Brother Levi is in here, and of course he's got that big knife, so I wouldn't advise you to jump on him. But let's say he's in here, and there's a fight. And I mean, it's a gang, more than one, more than two, maybe a bunch of people are mad at Levi. Maybe you are, I don't know, but they're mad at Levi, and they come to fighting Levi. You know what a real friend will do? A real friend won't say, well, I'm going to hightail it out of here, and whatever happens to him is all right. No, a real friend says, I've got you back, you handle them, I'll handle this crowd. You know what they're saying? I'm going to protect you, I'm putting myself in danger because I care about you. Because you're in danger and I care about you, I'm willing to put myself out there. That's what a real friend does. Amen. By the way, thank God. Thank you. Thank God Jesus stepped in when we was in danger. Amen. Jesus stepped in and put himself in danger and took our place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But a real friend protects their friend. They don't, as they say, throw them under the bus. I used that illustration this morning about how Michael did that with David. She marred David's name, marred David's character, lied on David when she was, quote unquote, protecting David. Because she wasn't so interested in protecting David. She's more interested in protecting herself.
Right.
But Jonathan stood up for David. Amen. Helped David when David planned to escape. Real friends seek to protect their friend. I'll say it this way too. Real friends protect the testimony and the reputation of their friend. Amen. Amen. I said this some time ago in a message. I don't remember now what I was preaching on, but I used the illustration. You can say something bad about a lot of people, but if you say something bad about mama, you got a fight on your hands. And that's right. You're supposed to protect the honor of your mother. Amen. Say something bad about your wife. They do. Then they got a fight on their hands. Because you ought to protect the honor of your wife. Amen. Even if you don't know for sure. I'll use another illustration. I'll use Miss Tammy because she looks guilty. I'm kidding. Miss Lisa. I called her Tammy. I'm sorry. Miss Lisa. She's the one who looks guilty. Yeah. Let's say somebody comes in and they say to Brother Bell, he's up working at the VA center, and they come in and they say, your wife just robbed the bank, like Helen did the other week. Your wife just robbed the bank. Well, he don't know for sure. Maybe he hadn't talked to her in a couple of hours. Maybe he hadn't talked to her all day. So he don't know, definitely. But you know what he'll say? I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for a second. She won't rob nobody but me. That's what he'd say. I know him. No, I'm kidding. No, but he said, I don't believe that. You know why? Because he knows her character. She's not a bank robber. Amen. He's going to stand up for her reputation. He's going to stand up for her testimony. And by the way, good Christian friends ought to stand up for each other's testimony. When they say, I believe your brother's in sin, you'll say, I don't believe it until I see some facts. I'm not going to accept an accusation, but with two or three witnesses, not just words say, somebody said it, somebody said it, somebody said. Amen. I need some witnesses about that thing before I'm going to believe it.
Right.
Amen. They guard one another's testimony. They protect one another's reputation. They stand up and they speak up on behalf of their friend when their friend is ridiculed. They attempt to squelch any rumors. They attempt to stop any lies being told on their friend. They will stand up for the integrity of their friend. Amen. Real friends, this goes into protecting. Listen to this. Real friends know how to keep private things private and not air dirty laundry. That's a real friend. If you're in Proverbs 18, look back at 19. I'm sorry, at 17. Proverbs 17 and verse number 9. Proverbs 17, verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That covering a transgression is not talking about covering your own sin. He that covereth his own sin shall not prosper, the Bible says. It's not covering your own sin, but it's covering for your brother. You know that a transgression, by the way, a transgression may be a slight wobble, we might say, a little wobble on the axle. It might be a flaw, as we'd say a fly in the ointment. They'll cover that. They'll set it aside. They won't say anything about it. Amen. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You ever been in a restaurant and find a hair in your biscuit? Yep, there goes supper. But let me back up and say this. Have you ever done that in your own home? And it's different when it's in your own home. Amen. It's different. Because you know things happen. And if you know that's probably hers, that's not as bad as being somebody that you don't know who in the world it is. Amen. But also the fact you don't want to hurt Phil. You don't knock all the dishes off the table and say, I'm telling you, if that ever happens again, I'm going to shave your head. Well, Amanda might say that. I'm kidding. I didn't even think about it. I just walked into that and amen. I just walked into it. I like it. Amen. But the thing is that you're forgiven. You overlook little transgressions. There's another verse, chapter 16, Proverbs 16 and verse number 28. Let me get back there. Proverbs 16 verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know what that whisperer is? He's saying something. He's not really willing to say it out loud. Right. Maybe he don't want everybody to know. Or he don't want everybody to know all at one time. He just wants you to know. And he's whispering something. And that whisperer separateth true friends. Real friends know how to keep private things private, rather than airing dirty laundry. We live in a very public world. Matter of fact, there's quite a few things that are public that should not be public. Amen. There's a lot of private things that are being broadcast publicly that don't need to be broadcast. Amen. Sometimes, now listen to me, sometimes you might be doing the job of a real friend by never mentioning what you know. Just keeping it quiet. Not spreading the word. Amen. Now, I do feel necessary to make a plug here, especially for young people. And listen to me, young people in particular. This idea of protecting your friend does not mean letting them do things that are going to hurt them or hurt somebody else down the road. Amen. If you know, for example, that they're smoking or drinking or looking at pornography, you don't have to tell the world, but you ought to tell somebody that cares about them. You ought to tell somebody that might be able to help them. They might be able to squelch some of that. Amen. If you know that they're involved in some illicit activity, drugs or fornication or perversion even, you don't need to keep that quiet. You're not helping them by covering for them. That's the point I'm making. There's a time for being a real friend and not speaking, and then there's a time for being a real friend and speaking up. You know, so-and-so needs help. And I care enough about them that I'm willing to take the brunt of their anger. I'm willing to take their lashing out. Not broadcasting it, but just telling somebody that can help them. Telling somebody that cares. That's being a real friend. Amen. There's a difference in, quote-unquote, ratting somebody out because you want to hurt them or you want to get even with them. That's different than trying to help somebody and trying to be a friend to them in some way, keep them out of trouble or get them out of trouble that they're getting in. Amen. I've tied all these to our Lord. Our Lord listens. Our Lord has things in common with us and seeks common things. And this third one, our Lord protects us. He protects us from the onslaught of the devil. Amen. He protects us from not only Satan, He protects us from sin. And sometimes He protects us from ourselves, because sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Amen. Just let me read you some of these. Psalm 125 verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. I'm glad God surrounds us with protection. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Amen. You remember Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see that there's more for us than they are against us. And he saw the chariots of God, the angels of God surrounding them. John chapter number 10, verse 28, Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What keeps your salvation? I'll tell you, it's not a what, it's a who. He keeps your salvation. Amen. He's the one that gives it to you, and He's the one that keeps you saved. Amen. Maybe I should say He's the one that brought you to salvation, and He's the one that keeps you in salvation. Amen. Thank God He does. Amen. Let me say number four. Friends tell the truth. Amen. Friends tell the truth. Sometimes friends will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Amen. Telling the truth is an unselfish act. True friends care enough to be honest and to seek to offer real help. Amen. Genuine friends don't lie to you. Amen. They don't lie about you. They don't lie to you. Amen. Genuine friends are honest. Somebody said this. Somebody said a true friend is one that wouldn't stab you in the back. He'll stab you in the front. Amen. A true friend is one that wants to help you. One that it might hurt, but they're saying it to help. And I said Wesley Dancy was my first best friend when I was in the sixth or seventh grade, maybe the seventh grade, I think. The Pardos moved to Wilkesboro. Pardos were from Michigan, they were from up north. And Yankees can cut you. They're not like Southerners. Southerners. They'll be friendly to you. If they do say anything bad about you, somebody said they'll say, bless your heart, as they tell you that. The Yankees don't bless your heart. They just tell you. And that's how he was. I'd come in and he'd say, boy, Farrell, you're getting fat, ain't you? I never said, thank you, Tom. Tom was always athletic. Tom was... Wesley was athletic. Those guys, they played basketball. Tom ran track in high school. He was my best friend from 7th grade, 8th grade, all the way through high school, into college. He was my roommate in college. And Tom would, he could cut me. He'd say, Farrell, you need to go in the bathroom and comb your hair. It looks a mess. Again, I never said thank you, Tom, but he was looking out for me. He didn't want me to look like a mess hanging around with him. Yeah, thank you. That's right. That's what I should have said to him. I should have said, bless your heart, Tom. Thank you. Bless your heart. Amen. But a genuine friend is one that will tell you the truth. Again, turn to Proverbs. We're in Proverbs. Look at 27. Proverbs 27, verse 6. The Bible says it real clearly. I like this. I don't know that I like it, but it's a truth. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. When a friend wounds you, they're trying to help you. An enemy may be pretending to love you, but in truth they're trying to hurt you. That's what he's saying. And so when the friend says something that doesn't exactly make us happy, that maybe does grate against us and, you know, tells us that we need to straighten up a little bit, they're not doing it to hurt us. They're not doing it to put us down. And by the way, if they've been a real friend long enough, you probably know. And some people are just more plain. Just plain spoken. Dad calls Mom Plain Ann. Mom's just plain. She'll just tell you. She'll just tell you what she thinks. And I don't know if that's always good, but a real friend can tell you without trying to hurt you. They can tell you that because they're trying to help. I think that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about, the Spirit of God, in Ephesians when he talks about speaking the truth in love. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. For example, when a dad says to his children, you know, you ought to be in church. He's not saying that to mock them for being out of church. He's saying that because it's best for them to be in church. Amen. When they give them some instruction, trying to help them along the way, it's not to hurt them, it's speaking the truth and doing it in love. Well, Jesus is our friend, and He deals with us in love and honesty. You know what the Bible says? Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to ask you, why does the Word of God cut us? Why does God want to cut us? Because He wants to help us. The Bible, and really the words of a friend, are like a scalpel in the hand of the doctor. It only cuts to heal. Amen. It only cuts to heal. It doesn't cut just to experiment. Maybe some doctors do that. It doesn't cut just to have fun because it's being sadistic. But it cuts, and that's how preaching is. When the preacher preaches right where you're living, if he's doing it right with God, he's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. It may cut, but it cuts to heal. Amen. And those wounds of a friend are faithful. Number five, this is my last one, goes along with what I used in the third one. Friends overlook faults. It might sound like that contradicts the previous point when I said friends tell you the truth. And they will. They'll tell you the truth. You ever had a friend tell you you got something stuck on the front tooth? You know why they're telling you that? Because they don't want you to be embarrassed. That embarrasses you. It's embarrassing. Amen. I remember a boy at Gardner Mirror. He had a big mustache. One of them, he could roll up the ends of it. Big mustache. Said he'd never shaved it. And he come in one day and had a booger hanging on his mustache. He walked around, everybody saw it. I mean, it looked like it's that big, you know. Hanging right there. Finally, one fellow went up to him and said, Alvin, you need to wipe your nose. And it embarrassed Alvin. But you know what's more embarrassing? Everybody's seeing it and everybody's noticing it and nobody cared enough to say anything about it. Could have let him go right on to the bank and cashed his check. Did you see the bank robber? Yeah, he's sitting behind that man with the booger on his nose. But concealing. The truth, sometimes the truth needs to be told. But when it does, it's to help them. But there's some things we don't need to just keep bringing up. That's the point I'm making about a real friend overlooks some things. He don't hold a grudge. A real friend don't. Amen. A real friend don't keep score, as they say. Amen. A real friend lets some things go. They operate more on grace. They operate more on love than on just absolute strict justice. Amen. True friends are willing to let some things go. They know that neither of them are perfect. Amen. Your friends are not perfect, and neither are you. More than likely, if you had perfect friends, they wouldn't want to be friends with you very long. Amen. Amen. Somebody once said this. They said, you can tell a real friend by the fact that when you made a fool of yourself, he doesn't feel that that's a permanent job. Amen. You ever messed up in front of your friend? And your friend said, that's all right. We all make mistakes now and then. Or maybe they laughed with you. Laughed about it. And go on and say, you know, we'll get over this. It's going to be all right. It's not the end of the world. It's not a permanent thing. That kind of friendship really is rare, but it is genuine friendship. Amen. Most people look at what they can gain in a friend. They want a friend that is a plus to them. They want somebody that can be a credit to them. They're not looking for somebody that will embarrass them, right? You ever heard it? I heard this somewhere. Somebody said, we've all got family members that we're embarrassed about. And he said, if you don't, you're the one that's the embarrassment in the family. And that's probably right. Because you can't pick family. You pick friends. But you can't pick family. Who comes in there is part of it. Amen. And but friends, you look for somebody that wouldn't embarrass you. For example, rich people generally are friends with other rich people because they have things in common and they're not embarrassed. They won't be embarrassed about the way their friend perhaps is dressed or the car that he drives or whatever that. They won't embarrass them. Well-dressed people look for other well-dressed people. Friends, people generally look for friends that fit in their social circle. But can I say this? That's not the way our Lord worked. Our Lord made friends of people that were not on His level because there was nobody on His level. Our Lord made friends and sought out friends. Matter of fact, our Lord sought out friends that were below even the religious level. He made friends with publicans that everybody hated. Amen. I said this before. I ain't never had a friend that was an IRS agent. Ain't looking to make friends with IRS agents. They're not friendly people in my book. That's what publicans were. They were tax collectors. But our Lord was a friend to them. Our Lord was friends with prostitutes, harlots, the Bible said. He is friends with them. He is friends with Samaritans. He is friends with other people that others wouldn't be friends with. I believe that ought to be a sign or a good strategy for us to use, especially in church. As I say, you ought to cross the tracks. Maybe somebody's from across the tracks. They're not from the same social level you are. Might be good to befriend somebody that maybe they don't dress as nice as you do. Maybe they don't, you know, but they don't have what you've got. Maybe they live across the tracks from the wrong side of town, but you can be friends with them. Now, I'm not talking about being friends with sinners and diving off and delving in their sin, but you understand what I'm talking about. This reaching across the aisle, so to speak. Right. Amen. And being a friend. That is unselfishly being a friend. I think that's what the Lord wants. Jesus is our friend. And because He's our friend, He loved us before we were cleaned up. Amen. I used this text this morning. It's so familiar. We use it in a lot of sermons. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved us before we were cleaned up. Now, He loved us enough that He's going to clean us up. Amen. He didn't love us and leave us in our filth, but He loved us in our filth and He washed us from our filth. Amen. And He's willing to be our friend, even though we mess up. Even though we make mistakes, He's willing to listen. He's willing to share our feelings and share our circumstances many times. He's willing to tell us the truth. He's willing to help us if we're willing to walk with Him. Amen. I could go through all kinds of things in the Bible. Let me just give you one. David, the man of God, messed up. He messed up in a big way when he went with Bathsheba. And God said that because he did that, God said, the sword shall never depart from thy house. Right? You remember that. But when David got right about it, David repented. Psalm 51, Psalm 32 is real evident. David repented completely for his sin. And though the sword never departed from his house, David suffered in his children and he reaped in his children the seeds he had sown in his own sin. He reaped that the rest of his life. But David had a walk with God. And as far as I know, God didn't keep bringing up about David's sin. He didn't keep bringing it up. Every time David went to church, God didn't say, you remember what you did, David? You remember what you did? No. A real friend, although they know, they won't keep bringing up the things that you've done wrong, but if you've gotten it right particularly. Amen. Christ is interested in being our real friend. I'm going to stop right there, come back and look at this a little bit later. But I want to ask you these questions I touched on this morning. Christ wants to be our real friend, but He doesn't just want to be our friend. He wants to be our Lord and Savior as well. Amen. Are you saved? If you've never been saved, you ought to call on the Lord. You ought to seek the Lord. But if you are saved, let me ask you a question. How friendly are you to Jesus? Do you talk to Him? He's ready to listen. Or how about when He speaks? Are you ready to listen? Amen. Are we friendly with Him? He seeks things in common with us. Are we trying to be more common with Him? Are we trying to do the things we know that please Him? Do the things that we know that honors Him? Amen. How friendly are we with Jesus, and how friendly are we with others? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song, and we have an invitation time. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come around the altar, God knows exactly what you need. If you'll be honest with Him, I believe He'll meet your need. I believe He's willing to help if you'll be honest with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. And though what I've preached tonight again has just been real practical, sometimes it's been funny, and it's good. It takes some of the edge off of some of the straightforward things, because sometimes, Lord, we are not good listeners. We talk too much. Sometimes we're too selfish. We're not necessarily a good friend. Sometimes we say things not in love. We say it in anger. We say it resentfully. Maybe it's envy. Oh, Lord, help us. Forgive us for those things. Let us lay aside all envy and strife and malice and evil speaking. Let us put on the whole armor of God. Let us put on the new man. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. Father, I pray if there be somebody here this evening that's unsaved, would You bring them to Christ? Would You show them not only the gospel that Christ died for their sins, rose again on the third day for their sins, for their justification? But Lord, I pray You'd show them that He's able and willing to save if they'll come. Have Your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I want to give you an opportunity to come call on the Lord. If He's speaking to your heart, would you do business with Him while we sing?
345.
Would you obey the Lord? If He's speaking, would you surrender?